Okay, we're on a two-stop tip up today. Today's stop is sponsored by Yosef Rachmanian and his wife, in a memory of Yosef's father-in-law, Shaheen Shmuel ben Daniel. Is that right? Shaheen Shmuel ben Daniel Zichrono Livracha. Okay, so if you remember yesterday, we spoke about this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, quotes Rabbi Yossi, says it was an incident. It's interesting, he says an incident, the girl come up with this, with a girl who went to fill water from the spring, and then she was raped. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said, if most of the people in the city are kasher to marry to kahuna, so then she's also kasher to marry to kahuna, that we assume that she was raped by a person who is miuchas as opposed to a person who has psulim involved with them. So then the Gemara had a question. Rabbi says, Rabbi Nachman, is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri following Rabbi Gamliel, or is he following Rabbi Yeshua? So he's following Rabbi Gamliel, doesn't make any difference if it's rope shame or rope psulim. Rabbi Gamliel holds Bari B'Shem Bari Adiv, and she has a Cheska Kashrut, so she'd be in the clear whether even if there's not a robe of Shevim, according to Rabbi Gamliel. So they're assuming, so Tosfos says that she says she knows that the person who raped her was Miuchas. And so it's the last Tosfos, and that's what Rabbi Rosner, not Rabbi Rosner, I'm talking like you, Michael, already. Rabbi Leibowitz had said today. And then let me make sure whether somebody wants to come on. I missed them 1 second. All right. Then the Gemara says that, but it's like Rabbi Yeshua. So the Tanna Rabbi Yeshua says she's not believed even a Rov Ark Sheirin. So the Gemara ends up saying, at least the way our school takes it, that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yeshua, but here we have two robes. So let me just talk this all out, and then we'll do it inside, and then we'll repeat it outside. Okay, so the two robes are, most of the people in the city are miuchas, that's one robe, and the second robe is that there's a siyah, a group of people who are visiting, and they're also kfeirim. So the Gemara gets into an issue of kavua and robe here. In other words, the Gemara takes it, if she's, again, let me just repeat again about kavua, we've had this before, but let me just go over. So in halacha, if a safek takes place in its natural place, that's kavua. If it's nifrash from it, it's not kavua. So if it's in its natural place, its set place, then regardless of the numbers, we view it as kmechsa mechsa. So here, if she went to somebody's house in the city and was raped, that's kavua. In other words, the person, the isur, the person is in his makom. So then it would be Kemechsa Mechsa, even if rove of the people in the city are Ksherim. Him. If he comes out to her, then that's the first rove, then we're entitled to assume that he's from the rove and that she's Kasher. Now, the Gemara is going to say that there's a Gzera D'Rabbanan, that if all I have is the city, so then on a Drabbanan level, even if it's the rove, we can't follow the rove because we're afraid that if we let you follow the rove when the rove is shayach, you follow the rove when, in other words, if we let you follow the rove when the rapist left his house, you'll follow the rove even when the rapist was in his house. So in no instance are you allowed to follow the rove. So it's mechsa is always asur. Then the Gemara says, with the siyah, with the caravan or the people who are visiting, so there, it's not a case of kavua. They're on the move. They're moving. They're moving. So I'm entitled to follow the rove. But there's a gzeira d'rabbanan that I can't follow the rove there because if I follow the rove there, then people in the city will follow the rove, and the people in the city can't follow the rove. So this sounds a little bit like gzeira. This is the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. But he says the Ritva says it's like kula chata gzeira, like one big gzeira together. So the Gemara ends up saying, though, when I have two robes, in other words, when both robes come together, I have the robe. In other words, she was not raped in anybody's house. She was raped outside the house. So that's one robe I normally would be entitled to rely on, but I can't because of gzeira d'rabbanan. And then, but when I have the robe also of the people who are in the shayara, so in that instance, then we could be makel. Why could we makel? Because in other words, the Shayara can never be Kavua. The Shayara will never be Kavua. So if I say that you can only follow the rove when I have two roves, and one rove can never be Kavua, so then that'll serve as a reminder that not to do it. Okay? So that's the preface. I'm sorry you missed this, Oday, but I'm going to go through the Gemara, and then I'll go over it again. And okay? So,
Right.
Even within Rabbi Yeshua. So even Tana Rabbi Yeshua will agree, when I have two rovs and neither rov was kavua, then I can be meikel. Then I can be meikel. Okay, let's see the Gemara inside, and then we'll talk it out inside, and then I'll repeat it again after we do the Gemara, okay? So we're on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, and we got up to around the eighth line yesterday, okay? Ki had the chiyat Rav Dimi. Everybody have it? Okay. So the Gemara said that we have two robes. Ki had the chiyat Rav Dimi Amar Ze'iri Amar B'chanina. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, his name is Ze'iri, his name is B'chanina. But Amri Lo Amar Ze'iri Amar B'chanina. Others say that Rav Dimi was out of the picture. Just Ze'iri said the name of B'chanina. Again, we don't understand the sentence, so we'll have to fill it out with this. Holchenacha Rova Ir and Holchenacha Rov Siyah. That we follow the majority, in other words, we think it means that if she's raped in the city, then we can follow the rove of the population of the city. If they're Ksheirim, we're okay. He says, but we can't follow the rove if she's raped in the caravan. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Kalapi Lai, like, what direction is this? Like, what's the far of that? Hani Naidi, the people who are in the caravan are on the move. In other words, they're not Kavua. Hani Kvi, the people in the city are Kavua, is the way we discussed it. Ella, so the Gemara says what he means is that we would follow the rove ha'ir. Again, so if she's raped by somebody in the city and she was not raped in somebody's house, and so I have a rove that most of the people, eligible people, would be kasher, and the siya was also came to the city, and they're all ksherim, or the rove ksher, and the rove ksherim, then I could do it. I can't follow the rove of the city by itself, or the rove of the caravan by itself. In other words, if she's raped in the city with no caravan, she's raped in the caravan with no city, I can't help her. My time, why not? So the siya'a, the caravan, or the people who are traveling, I can't follow the rove there, even though there's no Kavua there, and I'll pee dini Torah, I would be entitled to follow the rove, but I can't follow the rove there because we're afraid people in the city will follow the rove. The rove of Ha'ir Nami and the rove of the people in the city equally, itika azli inhu legaba, kul the parshmi ruv parish. So even in the city, if the rapist would have come out to her, then I would also be entitled to assume it's a rove. Lo sricha the ka'azli ila gabayhu. But the case that we have to address is when she goes to them. He says the havalei kavua. That would be a case of kavua. Every kavua is kmes hames. Okay, let me just repeat again what we did, and then we'll talk it out, and then we'll see where we go. Okay. So again, so we have this girl, and she's raped, and according to the Bali Tosfot, he says I'm sure my rapist was miuchas. Okay, and most of the people in the city have good yichus. So, and the issue is she possible to marry a kohen after being raped? That's the issue. So, and obviously an unmarried girl. So, the Mishnah that's Rabbi Yochanan Menuri is the one who says that most of the people in the city are ksherim, she's kasher. So the Gemara says, who's Rabbi Yochanan Menuri going like? If he's going like Rabbi Gamliel, whether it's a rove or not rove, then she's okay because she's got a Tanis Bari and she has a Cheskas Kashrus. So Rabbi Gamliel Lefora would say she's in the clear regardless of whether the rove of the city are Ksherim or not. So the Gemara says, you're right, she's going like Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, we normally would not believe her, but when there's two roves, we do believe her. So what does it mean, two roves? Two roves mean that most of the people in the city are Ksherim, and most of the people of this visiting caravan or a group of people are also Ksherim. So then I'm just repeating what we said already. So we said the issue is that if she goes to somebody's house, which is what the Gemara just said, then we get into the din of Kavua. So if she's raped in somebody's house, so then it means the Sapik is arising in the natural place, you know, where the Easter would be. So then regardless of the numbers, it's Kemech Salmechsa, and then she'd be prohibited. But if she was raped outside the house, then we would follow the rove. But we don't follow the rove because there's Xeru de Rabbanan that we're afraid if we follow the rove, people follow the rove even in the Kavua case. So we never follow the rove by itself with the city. And then the Gemara says with the Siya'a, so there's no Kavua, so I would follow the rove, but I don't follow the rove by the Siya'a because I'm afraid of follow the rope there, people will follow the rope in the city in a case that wouldn't, they're not entitled to follow the rope. But when I have both ropes together, I have the rove of the city, which could be kavua, could be not kavua, and the rove of the city can only be not kavua.
Drink it? I didn't and drink it.
Just one second, my dear, and then I will pause, okay? One second. Let me help you mute yourself. One second, let me just mute everybody. Okay. All right. Okay. So here she's raped outside the house in the city, but the caravan had come to the city. So in this case, where I have the rove of the caravan, the rove of the city, so there's no gezeira. There, the caravan, well, and when I say that I need two robes to be matir her, that'll be like a red flag. The caravan can only be not kavua. And that'll remind everybody that it has to be not kavua, and I'm only doing it with these two robes together. And that's what the Gemara is saying. That's where Rabbi Yeshua was matir her. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? No, it means like let's say you have the city, let's say Beit Shemesh, and the caravan pulls into Beit Shemesh. So I have people from the caravan and the people in Beit Shemesh. So I have two robes there. So, right. All right. Okay, everybody good? Everybody good in the cyber world? All right. So I'm going to move on now. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now the Gemara says, I'm around, 20 lines down. Ubimai and Trey Rube. Now, the Gemara assumes that whenever I could have a robe or kavua, in order to be matirid, I need two robes. That's what the Gemara assumes right now. The Gemara is saying that's not the case. I only need it here by the mala, by Konin. But the Gemara assumes that there's a general klal that I always need two robes. Ubimai and Trey Rube. Do I need two robes? Bahatani, we learned the Braisa. Tesha chanuyot kula mokro basar shchuta. We have 9 stores that all sell kosher meat. Bachat mocher basar nevela. One sells the treif meat. I'm using treif in a loose sense. Bachat mocher basar nevela. Lakach meachat mehem beinodeim meizem in lakach. He knows he purchased meat from one of the stores. He doesn't know which store he purchased the meat from. Sveiko asur. So the safek is asur. That's a case of kavua, right? In other words, even though there are 9 stores that sell kosher meat and 1 store sells treif meat, so if I would follow the robe, most likely he bought the kosher meat, but kavua says we treat as mess on mess, and it's prohibited. Because that's where it originates. That's where the meat originates. And he says here, uvenimsa, but if the meat is found on the street, halecha kar rov, I follow the robe. Now, the issue here is the first case, and there was the kavua case. So the kavua case, the safek is asur. One second. The second case. I'm sorry. In other words, so here's a case which is susceptible to having a kavua scenario, but I just found need one robe. V'nimsa lecha kar rov. We said we need two robes. Maybe you'll say the case that the Bryce is talking about. Now, Medina here can mean city, which is the way the Arsmo translated. Medina sometimes means a city. So when the gates of the city are open, they have butchers from outside the city are coming in. In other words, outside butchers come and sell their meat in the city. Maybe that's the case. And then I have two robes. I have the visiting chevra, and I have the native. There would be two robes. But Rav Zeira said, the Bryce is talking about a halakha that even if the gates of the city would be closed, so there would only be one robe. So we thought, before I need two robes, but here I need only one robe to have heter. So the Gemara says, Malu is subyoksin. In Achinami, this din about two robes is limited by the dinim of Yichus, like Kahuna, when I want a permitted to marry Kohen. There I have stringencies that are involved. So in this case, I need two robes. But in general, I only need one robe. All right? Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, let's move on. Okay. So we're at Gufa, midway down the column on Ted Baba Marala. Gufa. So the Gemara mentioned that Reb Zera said earlier that I don't think he quoted the whole sentence before, that kol kavua kemechsa al mechsa, right. So 10 lines earlier, the Gemara said that Reb Zera said every kavua is like 50-50. But now the Gemara adds on, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, whether this leads us to a leniency or a stringency. So the kavua is usually a stringency, but let's see how this goes. So where does Reb Zera know that kavua even applies by a leniency? So the Gemara says, ilema mitesha chanuya kula moko basar shchuta b'chab basar nevela. Maybe by the case of 10 butchers that sell kosher meat, 9 sell kosher, 1 sells treif. So there the safek is prohibited. But it's true that we have kavua there, but hatam l'chumra, that's a chumra case, not a kula case. In other words, the chumra meaning that the safek is asur, and it was 50-50, but it leads me to a stringency. So ela, so maybe we'll try it. This is a different part of the same brisa that I have 9 Sfardim. Sfardim we usually translate as frogs. You know, there's a Ramban in his Pirush on Chumash by Machat Sfardeya. The Ramban says Sfardeya could be a crocodile. That's what the Ramban says in his Pirush on Chumash. And Rav Simon mentions this, I think, in his Sefer. And it makes a lot of sense. Bishvarat's Hayor Sfardeim, that the whole Yor will breeding Sfardim. So crocodiles makes a lot more sense. I don't know, to my way of thinking. Anyway, but whatever it is, but the point is that I have 9 Sfardim, whether they be frogs or crocodiles, b'sheretz echad b'neim, and then 1 sheretz. Now, we say sheretz again, so when I talk about animals, so if an animal dies, the animal is metame, b'magil b'masa, a dead animal. Like if I shoot a cow, if I shoot the cow, the animal gives tumor. If I shoot a deer, it gives tumor. If I shoot a lion, it gives tumor. Well, once it's dead. Now, by the crawling, creeping creatures, so there's only 8 shratzim that give tumor, the 8 shratzim that are mentioned in the Chumash. And one of them is similar to a tzvardeya, a tzav. So if it's a tzav, it gives 4 tumor. If it's a tzvardeya, it does not give 4 tumor, the maga b'masa. So I have 9 tzvardim and 1 sheretz between them that does give tumor. But agab b'yachamihem enum de b'yaz m'naga, he touched one of the creatures, dead creatures, he doesn't know which one he touched, Sfeikom tame. So the safek is tame. So here I have 9 Sfardim and 1 Sheretz. So that's, in other words, so if I follow the Rove, I should be your Tahor. It's more likely that you touched one of the Sfardim than touched the Sheretz. It's 9. But it's Kavua, so we're going to say it's now Sfeikom tame. It's going to be the Rosh Hashanah, it's Sfeikom tame. So Hatam Nami L'Chumra. So the Gemara says that's a Chumra case. That's not what we're looking for. I don't even know why the Gemara suggested it, frankly. But that's what the Gemara says. It's a Chumra. Elo, the Gemara says, we're looking for a case that I'll follow Kavua, even where the result leaves me to a Kula. Elo, Mitisha Shratzim Tzvardeya Echad Beinehem. Rather, the case, and this is going to be the case that we're looking for, I have 9 Shratzim, which all give Tuma, and 1 Tzvardeya that doesn't give Tuma. So they were put down. Now, where he puts them down, that's kavua. That's he's leaving it there. That's kavua. He doesn't know which one he touched. So now the Brisa spells out naga b'rishud yachid sveikotame. So sapik tumor b'rishud yachid is sveikotame, but b'rishud rabim sveikotahor. B'rishud rabim sapik is tahor. Now, left to my own devices using rove, I would say that I have 9 shratzim and 1 spardeya. You see, he's definitely tame. But kavua is turning it into a safek. So now the safek is tahor. So mela, that's a din, that kavua applies even where it yields a leniency as opposed to a stringency. Right. Okay, who has questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Right. It means he touches, there are 10 dead creatures. If he touches the one that's not tame, he won't be tame. If he touches the one that's tame, he will be tame. Which line are you talking at? Wait, which line? The Tishat, near the hay? Tishat Sfardim and Sheretz? With the Tishat Sfardim and Sheretz Chab? Okay, we have two. Okay, let's go over again, okay? Okay. I'll go over again. Okay. So look at the small hay. Okay. So Tishat Sfardim. Okay. Is that the one? That's the earlier one. Oh, the second one you want? The first one is 9 Sfardim and 1 Sheretz. The second one is 9 Shratzim and 1 Sfardeya. Which one do you want? Do you want 9 Sfardim or 9 Shratzim?
9.
Oh, 9 stores. Oh, that's the earlier case. Teisha Chanuyo. Oh, all right, okay, let's go back again. Oh, okay, let's go back. Okay. No, you're talking a lot of different cases here. 9 stores is one case, and then the animals are another case. But the basic idea, let me talk about kavua outside, and then we'll go back. Okay. Which line is would you say speaker was?
Small gimel.
Speaker was sur. Right. So it means that I cannot eat the meat because I have to assume that it's treif. Even though there are 9 stores that sell kosher meat and 1 sells treif meat, but if I know that I purchased it from one of the stores, but I don't recall which store I bought it from, so it's kavua, so the safek is asur. In other words, kavua says that if the safek, and we'll see this pasuk that Chazal understand this from, is the kavua teaches me if the safek arises in the natural place where it normally is, then I don't go by the normal like proportions. I say it's kemechsa mechsa, mekemechsa mechsa. So I have somebody I spoke to the base manager today, Rabbi Yonatan Drury. So he was giving a svara for this. I mean, I thought it made a lot of sense what he was saying. So there's a Tosfos in Masechet Chulin. So Tosfos over there talks, you know, that there are some exceptions to dinim abitol, and a davar chashuv is an exception, like davar shabinin is an exception. So those exceptions are drabanan. Those exceptions are drabanan. So Tosfos asks, the chachamim don't make a takana or, you know, drabanan unless there's a model in the Torah. So where do they have the model in the Torah? So Tosfos says the model in the Torah is kavua. So he wanted to say that you see that for the Baalei Tosfot, kavua is giving like chashivas to the item. And the way he was saying is like, let's say we're in a social hall, you know, and I'm there and we're all there. So you may not notice me. But if I have a party at my house and it's my house, you notice me because I'm the balabas. So that's the way it is with kavua. If the item is in its natural place, it has a whole chashivas. And that chashivas is not subject to bitul. Okay, that's the svara, but we're going to see a pasuk that teaches me. Are you okay now, Odette? Are you still open? No, you're okay? All right.
Yeah,
everybody.
Now,
what's up? Let me hear.
I don't know if I bought it from a kosher place or a treif place. Is that because I don't know that I buy kosher or because I don't know the place I bought it?
You're right. It does seem strange because I would never go into a treif place. But the Gemara, that's the case of the Gemara. Like, let's say they all look identical. It's not like now with the big signs and stuff like that. And I know, but let's say it's, you know, maybe in the meat market or something like that, or in the stores, and all the stores look similar to one another. And I bought meat from a store, but I don't know which store I bought it from. So then it's kavua. So it's kemechsa mechsa. All right.
And there's no robe there. Okay.
In other words, there is a robe, but kavua teaches me don't follow the robe. I follow it's mess. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to go back in the Gemara now. Okay, everybody okay? All right. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now, we're 10 lines from the bottom on Tetbab Manalan. When we write to Manalan, where do we know this whole din of kavua from the Torah? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, and this is... Va'arav lo v'kamala, the person like ambushes and kills somebody. Now the words va'arav lo are extraneous. We don't need the words arav lo, but they're there to teach us something. He says ad shekaven lo. So the first opinion, which is really the Tana Rib Shimon, says that arav lo is teaching me that let's say I have Reuven and Shimon, and I intend to kill Reuven, and instead I kill Shimon, but I intended to kill somebody. So according to the Tana Reb Shimon, I'm not chayav for Ritzicha, because Va'arav Lo teaches me I have to intend to kill my specific victim. If I intended to kill somebody, in other words, I intended to kill A, but I killed B, I'm not chayav. But that's like a red herring. That's not the part you need. Okay, that's not the part you need. Now, let's see the next limud. V'rabanan Amri, the Bei Reb Yanai, the Chamim said that they learned to the Beis Medrash Reb Yanai, Prat Lazorik Evan Lego, that the Ba'arav Lo, the Kamalav, is coming to teach me. Let's say I have a group of people are standing in the street, and there are Jews and non-Jews in the group, and I throw a stone into the group. Now, if I throw the stone and I kill the non-Jew, I'm not chayav. But I ended up throwing the stone and killing the Jew. But the Arav Lo Kamalav is teaching me, even though I killed the Jew, I'm not chayav, and for the reasons that we'll see in a minute. He says, Prad Lazorik Yevon Lago, Heichi Dami, so what's the case? If there are 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew, and I accidentally killed the Jew, but I threw the stone in there, he says, typically the Ruba Kananim. So there, I don't need the Pasuk to teach me that it's exempt. I can say, look, the Rov are non-Jews. So he says, Inami Palgu Palga, and even if there's 5 Jews and 5 non-Jews, Safek Napasho Lahakel. So it's a Safek, and we're going to say, like, there's a Pasuk, Beitzilua Eda, we're going to argue in behalf of the defendant. So lo tzricha dikatishi srinim ukanani echab b'neihem. So the Gemara says, I need this pasuk by Rabbi Lova Kamalav for the case where there are 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and it means, in other words, there's kavua, the standing stationary in the Rishos HaRabim, the habale kanani kavua. In other words, the kanani is kavua. B'chol kavua k'mech tzal mech tzadami. So here, even though there are 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and I killed the Jew, I'm still patur because kol kavua k'mech tzal mech tzadami. We view it as like half and half, and then half I'm patur in that case. Okay, so that's the source for kavua. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's go further.
So the source for kavua is not one second.
Yosef asked me how I don't know what Rav Shimon will do, whether he'll do with kavua. I don't know. It's my machloket in the Gemara over there. This is in Sanhedrin. Yeah. So I don't know what Rav Shimon will say. Okay. So but that's the way the Chachamim darshan it. Okay, what's up, Bern?
So we're saying yes. We're saying it's a doraita, but it's really from Ketuvim or Nevi'im.
In other words, it's a din doraisa that the Chachamim darshan from the Pasuk or Rabalava Kamalav. But Arablova Kamalav. Right?
Where is that Pasuk?
I think it's in Parshas. Is it Shoftim? I think in Parshat Shoftim, I think. Dvar Mutev, I think it's Parshat Shoftim. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So it's coming up in Parshat Shavu another 5-6 weeks. Okay? Now, let me go further. Now, 3 lines from the bottom. So Itmar, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amarav, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says, in the name of Rav, Lachpal is Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah said, that she would judge her favorably, and Rav Chanan bar Rav Amarav Horasha Haita. So there are 2 versions of what Rav said. The first version says Mishnah the halakha follows our Mishnah. The second version said that Rav said that was just a Horasha, that was just a ruling made under the exceptional circumstances of that incident, meaning with this one girl that got raped, but it's not the halakha. Now we think right now when they're making these statements, we think that they're not working with the idea of 2 roves, 1 rove. We think that with 1 rove, that the first opinion is saying that Rav would follow 1 rove, even though it relates to Yuchsin. That's what we think. And then the Gemara is saying that's not the case. So Mativ Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya poses a kasha, Yuchsin will be in Trey Ruba. You mean when it comes to Yuchsin, you know, genealogy, who can marry who, we don't follow 2 roves. I mean, Rav doesn't follow 2 roves. Batan, we learn in the Mishnah, turn page, the top line on the Tefavim Beis. Batan, Mataba Tinok Mushlach. This Mishnah is the Masechta Machshirin. If you found a child that was abandoned, if most of the people in the city are non-Jews, you have to assume the child is a non-Jew. Imrov Yisrael. If most of the people in the city are Jews, then you can assume the child is Jewish. Mechsa Mechsa Yisrael. If it's half and half, you can assume the child is Jewish. And the Gemara is going to ask, if Mechsa Mechsa is Jewish, what's the difference between Rov and Mechsa Mechsa? Okay, you found a child in the street, and you don't know who the parents are. So if most of the people in the city are Jewish, you follow that they're Jewish. If most people are non-Jews, and half and half, they're Jewish. Okay? So now, the Gemara says, V'amarav, on the third line, So Rav says, when it says Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, that if the majority of the people of the place are Jewish, we treat him as a Jew, that's not for every din, it's just lahacheoto, that we're going to sustain him. And there's a pasuk b'chayachicha imach, that we're mitzuva in the Torah to, you know, see that he has food. Aval yuchsin lo, but for yuchsin, not. Meaning that here, in other words, here, the Gemara assumed that Rav was saying with one rove, it's even good for yuchsin, even good for, you know, shiduchim and everything else. But here, I have one rove, and Rav says it's not good for yuchsin. So that's a kasha against Rav Chanan bar Rava. Rav Chanan bar Rava's view of Rav. So the Gemara says, Ushmul Amar, we're not up to the answer yet. Ushmul Amar, the Pakech Lavragal. Shmuel says that the din in Rov Yisrael, that's for the din, and the Gemara will talk about this, so let's hold off with the questions on this. If it's Shabbos and a person was buried by stones, that you're allowed to dig him out, even though it may involve a malacha, but you can only do that for a Jew. But if most of the people are Jewish, you could dig the person out. We'll talk. We'll just hold off with the questions on that. So anyway, the kasha is, though, against... Right. In other words, that's the question that Rabbi Yirmiya poses against the first, which is Rav. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Rav Chiya Barashi. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yes, Rav Chiya Barashi in the name of Rav. So the Gemara says, Ishtamite hadamar b'yudamarab ikron shel tzipori havamase. So the Gemara said that Rabbi Yirmiya, who was the Makshin, he forgot or he didn't realize that Rav had explained the Mishnah, Rav in the name of Rav, that the Mishnah is talking about b'kronot Sholtzipuri Hayamah said that they were like, you know, wagons that had come into town, and that was the so there were two robes in that case. So he didn't realize. So now that he knows that case is two robes, Sinachinami, he needs two robes, and then there's no stira from the Mishnah. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, so thoughts so far? Everybody good?
Majority
are non-Jews, yeah.
Has the bris.
What I know, what you mean, you found the child and he has a bris on him. Yeah, in other words, you're saying it's like we'll talk a little bit. In other words, the siman a little bit differently. Okay, I'll hold off with that thought. Okay, I'll hold off. Okay, so Sa was asking, what if you find the child and he has like a bris? All right, so let's hold off a little bit with that. Okay, now, all right. Now, Lechora, that might change the scenario. That might change the scenario. But let's say back in the Gemara. Now, let's go back further in the Gemara. Okay, now on line 6. Ularav Chanan Barav the Amar Horat Shaita. Now we're going to the second opinion. Now, Rav Chanan Barav says it was a Horat Sha'a. So we think that he's ruling that it was a Horat Sha'a Kashaha. So if it's Horat Sha'a that And there's only one row. There's one row, and that's a horat sha'a. No, I didn't say right. That there are two rows, but it's a horat sha'a. In other words, Rav ruled. Let me just double check this again. One second. Right. So again, so we said that in our mission, we're talking about there are two robes. So that being the case, there are two robes, and there, the Tana of the Mishnah said we can be judge her favorably, but the second version, i.e. Rav Chanan bar Rava said that was a Horat Sha'a, that was a one-shot deal, but in general not. Even two robes are normally not good. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanan bar Rava d'amar Horat Sha'ita, Kashaha. So then he's got a stira because two robes are normally not good enough. And here, Right. In general, you don't need two robes. That's what it is. So in other words, in the case of the Mishnah, was Horat Sha'a to be mocked I only need, in general, I only need one row. Okay, so line number up. But according to him, we should rely on the one rule. In other words, again, according to Rav Chanan, this is Rav Chanan bar Rava, here in this Mishnah, the last Mishnah we did on top of the Amud, one rule was not enough. Rav said for Yuchsen, it's not enough. Line three and four, small aleph. Okay, so he's got a stira. Okay, so everybody's still here? Okay, good. Okay, so again, so the Gemara says, So the one that learned that the case in the Mishnah was two roves, the one who learns that way doesn't learn that Rav made this statement. In other words, the two roves we learned from the earlier statement of Rav, it was not in the Mishnah Mefurash. On the bottom line of the Gemara, on Yidum Abayis, Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Bikron Shel Tzipori, Amaseh. So the one who taught that's Bikron Shel Tzipori, so the one who learned it that way, that it's two roves, and assuming he's going like Rav Chanan, that it's a Horat Shah Haitah, so normally I need one rove, he didn't learn Rav's statement over here. In other words, the two don't go together. All three of those statements don't go together. Okay, let's just repeat this one last time, and then that'll be it. Okay, now, according to Rav Chanan bar Rava, he says that the ruling of the Mishnah, is Horat Shah Haita. Well, we don't know. In other words, whatever the ruling of the Mishnah was, it's just Horat Shah. It's just a ruling for that moment. So then we had two statements of Rav. The first statement says the ruling of the Mishnah was two roves. And the second statement said that, in general, for Yuchsin, I can't rely on a single rove. Now, if I put that all together, I have a stira. Because if I say it's a Horat Shah and it's two roves, means in general, when it's not a Horat Shah, I can default over the one rove. So the Gemara says, the one who taught, Rav has got two statements here. One statement that it's two roves and one statement that Yuchsin you don't rely on. So the one that taught, assuming that it's Horat Shah, going with that Horat Shah, the one who taught that it's two roves doesn't teach that Rav said that, in other words, if it's two roves and normally one is enough, he wouldn't teach Rav over here. And the one who teaches this doesn't teach that. That's the way that he, okay. All right. Now we'll go back in the Gemara. Now, Lomat Niha. Now, Gufa, we're on line eight. Now, Gufa, Matzaba Tinok Mushlach. Now, we said that if he found a child abandoned, if most of the people in town are non-Jewish, we treat the child as a non-Jew. Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, if most of the people in town are Jewish, you treat him as Jewish. Mechsa Mechsa, if it's like 100 people in town, 50 Jewish, 50 non-Jewish, Yisrael, we treat him as Jew. And we'll be mechalik between the Rov and the Mechsa Mechsa. So Amarav, Roshanu Halachayoto, this is just repeating what we did above. So Rav says, when it says Rov Yisrael Yisrael, that's the high chayoto to sustain him. Avol Yuchsin lo, but for Yichus, we don't treat him as Jewish. Ushmul Amar, the Fakeach Lavadagal. Shmuel says it means to dig him out from a pile of rocks on Shabbos. So if most of the people are Yisrael, we would dig him out, assuming that he's Jewish. So the Gemara addresses it to that last point. Umi Amar Shmuel Hafi, did Shmuel say that I can only dig somebody out if Rove of the people, and I don't know what his status is, but most of the people in the city are Jewish, but Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yudamar Shmuel, in Holchem Pikuch Nefesh Achar Rove. Shmuel says we don't follow the rule by pikuach nefesh, meaning if there's any possibility that the person could be Jewish, then we'll do we'll be mechal Shabbos. And there was safek pikuach nefesh or zdocha Shabbos. And the article said it's based on the pasuk. I think we had b'chei achicha imach, but they quoted I thought a different pasuk. One second. They said b'chai b'hem. Yeah. In other words, you should follow the Torah b'chai b'hem to see that people do the mitzvot, and even if there's one chance that this is somebody who will do the mitzvot, we're going to do for it. Okay, that's that piece. Okay, now So the question is, so if Shmuel says, I do it for even a small amount, what does Shmuel mean here? El ki itamar de Shmuel, a resha inmar. When Shmuel made the statement about digging the person out from the pile of stones, it was on the resha. Im rov of the kochavim obeyed kochavim, that he was going on the first line. If most of the people in town are non-Jews, then we treat him as a non-Jew. But amar Shmuel, ulfakeach lav regal, eino chein. Shmuel said, but when it comes to digging somebody out, then we wouldn't treat him like that. If there's even any chance that he's Jewish, then we would, dig him out. Now, so having established, so what halacha does in rov v'dei kochavim v'dei kochavim? So again, if it's the pakeach alav regal, we don't treat him as a non-Jew. So then what is the din? What din is the tana of the Mishnah teaching me in rov v'dei kochavim v'dei kochavim? What is it teaching me with that? So he says, l'may hilchata. So Amra Papa La Chilo Nevelot. In other words, if I find a child and 9 out of 10 people in the town are non-Jewish, so I can give him non-kosher food to keep him alive. He says, Imrov Yisrael Yisrael Lamai Hilkata. Now Rov Yisrael Yisrael, what halacha? Now we already learned one halacha, and that was Rav said Lahachayoto, that where Bezdin is Mitsubit to be Mefarnes him in that way, but he has a different chiluk here. He says, Amara Papa Lachzir Lo Aveda. In other words, to give him back the Aveda. So let's look at Rashi. Lachzir Lo Aveda. So the Gemara is, Rashi is going to say that the mitzvah of Shabbat Aveda is only by a Jew. He says, you do it for any Aveda of Achicha, of your brother, which is your Jew. It was there's a mitzvah Shabbos Aveda by a Jew who loses something, not by a non-Jew who loses something. So that pasuk another fellow in the base medrash, Adam Brash, he mentioned that pasuk. Let's see back on the Rashi. Lachzir lo aveda. So in 10 lines above where it gets wide in Rashi, Ributahi, the motzim yad Yisrael hazocheba. In other words, it's a chiddush. In other words, that we take it from the Jew who normally would be zoche on it. But oda amar rabbanan. Again, let's go back. So, if Rov of Israel, where we're going to make him give back the Aveda, and that's the way it sounds like, right, in Israel. So he says, so even though I'm taking it from a person I know is Jewish, but oh, the Amu Rabban and Amachzir Aveda Laknani, Alavachtu Bomer, Laman Sfot Rabat Hatzmeya. So the Gemara has a pasuk in Sanhedrin to teach me that, in other words, if I equate Jews with non-Jews, I'm doing an aveira. In other words, so if I treat like there's a mitzvah to give the aveira back to a non-Jew, just like by the Jew, that's an aveira. So I was mentioning to this Adam Bresh that he was saying that Rav Shechta said like it's a kiddush Hashem, so it's different. Like today, if you find something. And and it's obvious, and you tell me you're an Orthodox Jew, and so you're doing a Kiddush Hashem, but Midina de Gemara, there's no mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda by a non-Jew. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Imrobi Yisrael Yisrael Lamai Hilchata Imrapa Lachzilo Aveda. Mechsa Mechsa Yisrael Lamai Hilchata. So now, what's the din? Mechsa Mechsa, we consider this child to be a Jew. What halak is that? So Amri Shlakish the Nezikin. So Rish Lakish says, it relates to a din by Nezikin, by damages, torts, we could say. Now, I have to say this outside first. Now, if a Jew shor gores another Jew shor, so if it's a short time, he's chayav katzi nezek, a tor muad, he's chayav nezek shalem. If a Jew's shor gores a non-Jew shor, so midin Torah, he's patur. If a non-Jew shor gores the Jew shor, midin Torah, he's chayav nezek shalem. Okay, that's it, right. So now the Gemara says, so so hekidami, what's the case? Let's say one of our shvarim, the Jew's shore, gores the shore of the child. He grows up, he has a shore, whatever, but he was born in a place and it was mechza mechza, and we gore his shore. So he might be Jewish, he might be non-Jewish. So if he's non-Jewish, he's not. So he says, so he, this person, we don't know his status, the mechza mechza, he's in essence the motzi mechavero. He's the plaintiff in the case. So lemalei, so why don't you say to him, Aiti rai d'Israel ad ushkol? So prove that you're a Jew and you'll get the money. So, but the Gemara says, lo tzricha d'nachei tor didei l'tor didei. No, the key halacha is that his shore gored one of our shvarim. So he either is chayev, and it's a tam. So if he's Jewish, he's chayev nez chasi nezek. If he's not Jewish, he's chayev nez shalim. So he says, pal g'mishalim. So off the top, he pays half chasi nezek. Right. The idach palga, the other half, amar lahu, he could say to everyone, or he can claim to the claimant, Aiti raya d'lav Yisrael anav etein lechon. Prove to me that I'm not Jewish, and I'll give it to you. So it's mechsa al mechsa, so then we're going to default over that he's Jewish, and then you could try to prove that he's not Jewish, but that otherwise we're going to leave it that way. All right, you got it or not? In other words, if our shore gores his shore, so he's the claimant. So he has to prove that he's Jewish. He's got to prove that he's Jewish. Right. All right. Right. Okay. All right. Hadralach Psulin, you say. Okay. Any questions on what we did so far? All right. Let's do the next Mishnah and then we'll do a little bit more and then that'll be it for today. Right. That's a mile by Yuchsin, right? Okay. Now, all right. Let's see back on the Gemara. I don't know what halakha l'maisa is, but that's where it came out from the Gemara, but that we need a double row. Okay. So halakha l'maisa, I don't know. Okay. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. Now, Ha'isha Shin to Armala. Again, that was working with it. Right. Okay. So let me look at it. Okay. Ha'isha. So I saw in Rav Kapi said the halakha actually follows Rabbi Gamliel. So it's a little tricky with this thing, but I'm not sure halakha l'maisa. Now, Ha'isha Shin to Armala, Oshin at Garsha. Now, here you can have a case where a woman was widowed or divorced, and she had lost the ksuba. So he says, "Heal merit betula nesatani." She says, "I was a betula when I married you, and you owe me 200 zuz." Now, obviously, that's the case in the garsha. If it's in the armala, she's claiming it from the estate. He says, "Vehu omer." In the divorce case, he says back to her, "Lo ki ela amanan esatich." He says, "What are you talking about? You were a widow, and the ksuba only said 100 zuz." Imyesh edim shetzat bihinum of rosha parua to etamatayim. If she is Edim who can establish that she went to the original wedding, but Hinuma, like this, the Gemara is going to explain what Hinuma is, but like a veil over her face, Rosha Parua, her hair was down to her shoulders, Tubatamatayim. That was a Simon that she was a. That's the Betula, right. Rabbi Yochanan broke Omer, Afchilaklayot Raya. He says, even the fact that there are Edim that they gave out parched grain at the wedding, that would be a Simon that she was a Betula. Umoda Rabbi Yoshua. Now, this next case, we don't understand immediately what the connection is, but the Gemara will address this, but not tonight. Umoda Rabbi Yoshua, but Omer lechavero. Rabbi Yoshua agrees that a person says to his chaver, "Sadazu shel avicha itel lekachtia himenu shu neman." This field was your father's, but I purchased it from him that he's believed. Shapeshe asar hu peshe hitir. This is an important klal that comes up. Peshe asar peshe hitir. Means if I don't know anything that's a problem, but the person says it's a problem, but he says, but the problem's been addressed. Then in other words, let's say I don't know a woman was taken captive by non-Jews. And she says, I was taken captive, but I'm Tahora, that's Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. So here too, if I didn't know, like this person doesn't know what his father's affair is, whether the father's not alive anymore. So he says, this field originally belonged to your father, but I purchased it from him. So Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. So I didn't know that it belonged to my father, but he said I purchased it from him. He says, "Bimyesh Edim Shishal Aviv." But if there are Edim who can establish that the field at one time belonged to his father, Guamir Lakhtiyman, when he says, "I purchased it from your father," Eino Neman. He's not Neman, then he doesn't have Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. Okay, let's do a little bit of some of these sheets and then we'll
Can I add Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir something of amigo.
I don't see it that way, but I don't see the two being connected exactly. I think they're very different.
Because she makes two statements.
Amigo is she could have said a better lie if she was lying. So she said this lie, so we believe her. This is Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir. The fact that we wouldn't know the Easter without him establishes his bona fides. I mean, the only thing that they have in common is that they're clawing to establish truth. But other than that, I don't see the connection. Okay, now, let's just see what we have over here. This is the wrong page. One second. Give me 1 second. Okay, this is interesting. Okay. Following World War II, representatives were sent to Europe to recover Jewish children that were given to non-Jews during the war for protection. On one occasion, a non-Jewish woman presented a girl to these representatives and reported to them that this girl was given to her by a Jewish man during the war. In other words, during the war, it was a horrible time, obviously, but people were giving, you know, kids in all sorts of places. And then the parents couldn't be found afterwards. The representatives brought this girl to Eretz Israel, and she was raised in a religious institution that did not discuss with her this history. The girl grew up, married a Torah scholar, and at some point became aware of her history and posed the following question. Is she allowed to presume that she is Jewish, or should she undergo a conversion? On the one hand, one can argue that there is reason to believe the story related by the non-Jewish woman, since it is unlikely that it was her own child, since people don't give away their children, and the majority of children deposited by others during the war were Jewish. So the fact that she had this child on deposit, you know, most of the children that were given during the war for deposit, so to speak, were Jewish children. So that's a rove that cuts in her favor. On the other hand, our Gemara teaches that concerning matters of lineage, one majority is insufficient. Accordingly, the assertion that she is Jewish is not admissible. So again, it does sound like you're going with two robes here. So you've got a problem here. Now, let me add on a little bit also. You know, when you talk about a person undergoing a conversion, it's a real ordeal. Like you think you're Jewish, then going to the conversion. But then if you have kids, then it's even more problematical. In other words, if she converts, then what's the status of the kids? And then the whole thing becomes a big nightmare. So Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Yashiv thoroughly addressed many different aspects of this question. One issue that he discussed was the position of Rashi, Rashi and Tefram Beis. Rashi indicates that the principle of one majority is insufficient in matters of lineage is limited to cases involving Kohanim. So this is the Rashi of Al Yuchsin. Where's Al Yuchsin? I see it. He says around the 10th narrow line, he says, to Trey Ruby Ba'in Al Yuchsin. For Yuchsin, it sounds like when we're dealing with a Kohen, we need it. Therefore, in a case that does not involve a Kohen, a single majority is sufficient. That's one way we could kind of tie this up. In other words, it's just a stringency when it came to Yuchsin with Kohanim. He says, the difficulty with relying on this position of Rashi is that the majority of later authorities reject Rashi's understanding of this principle, and they apply it to all cases. In other words, when the Gemara says Yuchsin, does it mean Yuchs, if the Kohen wants to marry somebody, or it means any Yuchsin, you know, any Jew marrying somebody? So the majority of the Farshim say any Jew. So now she's in a pickle. So accordingly, since this woman does not have a second majority to support the conclusion that she's Jewish, a conversion should be required. Nonetheless, the Sheif Shmaita was written, you know, much earlier, but he writes that one could rely on Rashi's position in pressing circumstances. So he quotes in the second piece in the Sheif Shmaita. So since the question at hand is what one example of many people who are in a similar predicament is considered a pressing circumstance, and thus he did not require this woman to convert. But that's a ha'ara. Okay, now, let's see. All right, we'll do one more story. It looks like the Hasidic stories are back, and we'll do a Hasidic story.
I'm sorry. If she was married to a Kohen, if that person she was married to was a Kohen,
yeah, then she's got a problem.
She's got a problem, right?
But here it sounds like he was not a Kohen. Okay. All right. Now let's see further. I'll just do 2 minutes now. Now we said Kol Kavuot Metzal Metzah. The previous Rebbe of Todos Aaron Tzitzal once delivered such strong words of chizuk to inspire men to devote special time to learn that his words were posted publicly so that their impact could spread to other communities besides his own. The chizuk wasn't actually expressed in a speech. It had been the Rebbe's response to a question asked by one of his own chassidim. The questioner had asked, a lot of people work and learn a little, but are still not using their free time productively. Can the Rebbe please tell us how we might be able to stimulate them to be kovei itim Torah, to dedicate set times for Torah study? The Rebbe responded, the concept of kviat itim is a very deep one indeed. Even if one has a set hour of learning, and the Hafla writes that although this might only represent a small portion of the day, we still hold that kavua kemechsa al mechsa. He says that when something is fixed, it assumes a far greater significance than the actual quantity of time would normally indicate. So he's doing a little bit, you know, like the Hasidic bit of Torah. In other words, in our Gemara, we see that if, like, the Sapphic is kavua, it has outsized significance because it's kavua. So here he wants to say that the kvias is the whole thing. We learn this principle from Kubata Petrov. If 9 stores sell kosher meat and 1 sells non-kosher meat in a particular area, and 1 bought from one of the stores and doesn't know which, the meat is forbidden. Even though the rule of thumb is that we follow the majority, since the kosher and non-kosher are all sold and established in a fixed place, the makam kura enjoyed by the non-kosher store grants it an added degree of importance. This makes it as if half the stores in the area are selling non-kosher meat, which means that we have to assume the purchaser had a 50-50 chance of not being kosher in retrospect. So too, if one learns even an hour a day on a fixed basis, is as if fully half his day was occupied in holy matters. That's in other words, he wants to say it's
that's kavua. Good news.
So he wants to say, like, if you have, in other words, your hour is kavua. So we call kavua is kemech sal mechza. So he wants to say it's like, that's a little core that he's saying. Hold up. So he's saying, in other words, the two really don't go together. In other words, kavu is a din in sveiko, but he's like applying, taking the idea and borrowing. Okay, the Vilna Gaon's Sal said that the word koveya can also refer to stealing. This is because very often one must literally steal the time to learn from his day. Koveya itim, you have to steal the time. Okay. So what did you want to say before Odeda didn't get it? Yeah, that's right. It's Tahor. That's true. But that doesn't help us with Kavua. In other words, here we have a whole bunch together. So the question is, which one of the bunch did he touch? So if 9 of them are non-giving Tuma, so then, or 9 of them give Tuma, so I would say that he touched Tame. But Kavua teaches me Metzamechza, and then the Seiko says, okay. So learning today was Liluna Shama of Yosef Achmani's father-in-law, Shayan Shmuel ben Daniel, Zichron Lebracha. Okay, let me just, I got to say goodbye to everybody.
What time is Daf next week?
5 minutes earlier, I believe.